Everyone, this morning again, for those of you who have been following our message series, you know we're taking a short break from the book of Joshua and looking at the important topic of Easter. Now, today marks a very significant day because today in the Christian tradition is known as Palm Sunday. And then this coming Friday, we'll come again to reflect on Good Friday, the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And then on Sunday, we're going to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And followed with baptism and a big party afterwards. And I'm excited for that. And my prayer and hope is that in the coming days, today and Friday and Saturday, you're able to walk away with a better understanding of who this Jesus is and why he came on this earth. Now, throughout human history, Jesus has been acclaimed as one of the most influential leaders of our time. But also at the same time, no one is more misunderstood than Jesus. Now, why do I say that? The Jewish people of that time expected triumph and glory from Jesus. But Jesus of Nazareth came as a suffering servant, being a different type of king, ruling with a different type of kingdom. This was the Jesus that people didn't expect. Even his own disciples, the inner 12, who were with him for most of his life and ministry, misunderstood him. And they didn't understand why he did the things he did. And so as we look at that today and that story, I want to examine in our own lives, within ourselves, as modern day 21st century Christians in the Bay Area, are we following him for who he is and not what we have created in our own imaginations? This message is really important for all of us, especially for those who are seeking this Jesus of Nazareth and also for those who grew up at church, wanting to have a better understanding of the person and work of Jesus Christ. So I have an important message today titled, All Hail, King Jesus. All Hail, King Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we just pray for our following time that we have to worship you on this important day of Palm Sunday. Lord, work in our hearts, quieten our hearts, and come and minister to us by the power of your Spirit so that we can know you, we can see you, and we can experience you. Lord, I just pray for all those who are tuning in and those who are present here in person worship. Lord, may you be with them and you minister to them in their context right now so that they can lay all their anxieties and worries aside and look to you, our Heavenly Father. So Lord, help us, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I wonder whether you've ever been in a situation where you've been mistaken for someone else. Now, depending on the situation and who you're mistaken for, it can either be a great experience or a bad one. Now, I've got two experiences. Back at college, first year of college, I used to have this like really long hair, and I did my hair like an Asian pop star. So when I was on vacation in Taiwan, I was once mistaken for a Taiwanese pop star by some local street market owners. They called me by that Taiwanese pop star's name, and when they called out that name, everyone turned around and looked at me. Now, some were in shock, were staring at me. Some just walked on by and thinking, he's not as good looking as a real pop star, or where the bodyguards. And it was a really funny experience for me during my college years, because I took that identity in my stride and enjoyed it for a couple of weeks in Taiwan. I was telling my relatives of that experience. And I have to say, looking back, it was quite a good experience for me overall. The second time I was mistaken for someone else wasn't a great experience like the first one. When I was in Australia, it was during my college years as well, I was working at a cafe as a part-time job, just to get by. And at that time, I brought Ruth to this cafe to check out where I'm working, I'll make you a coffee. And at that time, you know, we were still dating. And so when I was about closing up the shop, Ruth was still there. There was an Australian Caucasian lady with her young daughter that were also just wrapping up as well. And as I went over to clean their table, this young girl looked at me and said, "Dad?" I was in complete shock. Why would she say this? All right? We look nothing alike. And I had to explain to Ruth, look, I'm not the father of this child. You know, don't, you know, in Chinese, like, 真的是误会了, right? Big misunderstanding. This was a classic case of being mistaken for someone else. And I have to say, compared to my experience in Taiwan, this was for sure a bad experience. But I wonder, have you ever been in a situation where someone walks up to you and says, "I think I've seen you before." Or, "Hey, were you that person?" We've all had some sort of experience being mistaken for someone else. And I thought about this. Jesus of Nazareth was a person in human history who also had been mistaken for someone he's not. And in fact, there were many misconceptions regarding his life and ministry on earth. The people back in those early days expected this Jesus to be this earthly king that would reign with justice for the Jews, saving them from political and societal oppression. But this Jesus of Nazareth, he didn't come to do this. He was not the type of king that people thought he was going to be. In fact, what the people thought and who he really was so different that one day they would be shouting, "Praise the Lord, Hosanna!" But then a couple days later, they will say, "Crucify him, crucify him." What caused this shift of emotions among the people of that time? From praising him to yelling, "Give us Barabbas. There's no king but Caesar. Crucify him." Today we're going to examine a very short story in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 12 to 19. Looking at the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem and what the people thought of him and how they confused him to be someone he wasn't. You see, Jesus was a different type of king. He was not the king the people expected. Not like the monarchs of old where they would sit on their fancy thrones with ivory and gold, dispensing justice and wisdom. Nor was he this great warrior king some had wanted. He didn't raise an army with mighty chariots. He was the exact opposite. He arrived into Jerusalem, not on a majestic horse, but on a donkey. This was the Jesus that people didn't expect. And hopefully through looking at today's short story, we can examine our own Christian lives. Whether we have mistaken Jesus to be someone he's not. Whether or not this King Jesus we believe growing up is one that is actually rooted in what the Bible says about Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 12, verse 12 to 9. John chapter 12, verse 12 to 9. I'll be reading it in the New Living Translation. Now, this story is very familiar to all of you, with different translations. Very famous, Hosanna, Hosanna. So let me read it in the New Living Translation. The next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him. They shouted, "Praise God," in some translations says, "Hosanna, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, "Don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey's colt." His disciples didn't understand at that time that this was a fulfillment of prophecy. But after Jesus entered into his glory, they remembered what had happened and realized that these things had been written about him. Many in the crowd had seen Jesus call Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead, and they were telling others about it. That was the reason so many went out to meet him, because they heard about this miraculous sign. Then the Pharisees said to each other, "There's nothing we can do. Look, everyone has gone after him." Now, for those of you who have grown up at church, you're probably very familiar with this story. If you went to a Christian school growing up, or if you recently even came to Christ, I'm sure you've probably come across this story either through storybooks or movies like The Passion of Christ. I remember growing up at church, every year when Easter came around, it was the worst. We all had to get up dressed up. Right? I'm not sure if how many of you can remember. We had to get dressed up in Israelite clothing, sandals. And then the Sunday school teachers would force us to get these palm branches and then wave it. And we would just have to sit there. And back then, you know, there was no iPhones. So you had these, like, parents who would come really close with a camera and just, like, you know, take a shot of you. And it was just really, really embarrassing. And if you didn't wave hard enough, right, the teachers wouldn't give you candy. So you had to, like, wave the whole time, right? And, like, I thought it was the most embarrassing thing. So that's what I remember about Palm Sunday. For many of us, it evokes memories of growing up at church, doesn't it? Now, for those of you who have just joined our church and came to Christ later on in life, don't worry, in our English ministry, I won't ever get any of you to do that. to get up on stage to do it. I'm not going to do that as long as I'm the pastor here, as long as I have any type of spiritual authority here. Everyone is safe, except for Alan. All right.
Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest.
That was the context. So he has to do that. All right. Let's give Alan a round of applause. Now, in all seriousness, thinking of this story, whether it's just reading through the passage or what Alan just did just then, I wonder how deep you have gone into looking at this passage. Because to be honest, on surface level, it seems very simple and straightforward, doesn't it? Jesus enters into Jerusalem, hops on a donkey, everyone is shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. And we almost have this familiarity with passages like this that we don't really give it a second thought. So my aim today is to help you dig deeper into this story, and hopefully you're able to walk away today with a greater understanding of the life and ministry of Jesus as you prepare your hearts and minds for Good Friday and Easter Sunday. So because I'm a pretty creative guy, I want to transport all of you back into first century. So for a moment, I want your imaginations to hop on this journey with me. All right, I've prepared a slide to help you visualize this. So imagine you're a kid in a Jewish family. To make it more real, let's give this guy a Jewish name, Benjamin. In Hebrew, it will be Benjamin. Benjamin, early in the morning, his mother is making all the appropriate preparations for the Jewish holiday of Passover. Father, like most fathers, are pretty reluctant. Ah, oh, another celebration. Can't be bothered. Really want to go. Fine, I'll go. Even though there's COVID, I'll go. The task was to get to Jerusalem and celebrate with fellow Jews this important festival. But you know, but Benjamin knew that this Passover wasn't going to be like any other Passover. Why? Because he heard in class and among the neighbors about this Jesus of Nazareth. There were talks that, hey, he could be the king of Israel. That, hey, he was healing people. He was turning lives around for the better. Now, if you were Benjamin, you're still a kid, so you don't know much. And you just think, oh, I get out of Hebrew class. I don't have to go to trumpet class. So you're thinking, yes, best time of the year. And so as your parents get ready, they take you along and make this trip to Jerusalem. And on the way, you see your school friends and other family members and neighbors all rushing to celebrate this holiday in the heart of Jerusalem. And as you near arrival, you start to hear shouts of praise. Hosanna! Hosanna! Hail to the King of Israel! Blessing on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. It's very festive. There's music. There's shouts of joy. There is a lot going on. Other kids running around, and you see people laying their cloaks on the pathway. And you see palm branches pulled out and people waving it, welcoming this King Jesus. And as you look at this picture and this imagery in front of you, you start to recall the lessons that you learn at school, the significance of palm branches. You know it symbolizes power and victory. It brought hope. So you know something is lurking in the background. You know something big is about to happen. And as all this is going on, you start to listen in on all the conversations that are happening around you. Has the King of Israel arrived? Surely it's about time that God has sent us a liberator that will fight off the Romans. I can't wait for these Romans to face the wrath of our king. The horse that he's riding on must be majestic, strong and beautiful, for he's a king. That's what you're hearing. So being a kid filled with excitement and wanting to know what's going on, you leave your parents and you rush into the center. And just when you finally squeeze right into the center, you finally catch a glimpse of this king. You see Jesus of Nazareth riding on a donkey. in your mind, you think, what the heck? A talking donkey? Nah. You think, he's not a mighty horse. It's a donkey. You're confused. You run back and looking at your father and you're asking him question after question after question. What's going on? Why is this man on a donkey? Where are the soldiers? Where is the sword? Where are the bow and arrows? This is not what we have been taught. Why does he look so gentle? Why is he riding on a donkey? Why aren't the Romans trying to seize him? Why doesn't he have gold chains? Where are the head of his enemies? Where are the spoils of war? Where are the stories of conquest? These were probably the type of questions people were asking amongst each other, even among the adults. Everyone leaves that day confused, a bit anxious, some a bit excited, some really not knowing what to think about the day's events. But John, one of the disciples of Jesus, records for us that there is a whole other layer to what takes place. There is a different type of king in the works, because the author takes us to an ancient prophecy in the Old Testament. The ancient prophecy is quoted from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 to 11. Turn with me there. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 to 11. One of the minor prophets gives this prophecy about Zion's coming king. He says, "Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem. I will destroy all the weapons used in battle, and your king will bring peace to the nations. His realm will stretch from sea to sea and from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth. Because of the covenant I made with you, sealed with blood, I will free your prisoners from death in a waterless dungeon." What we see here is that Jesus was fulfilling an Old Testament prophecy. In fact, the entry on a donkey was a very symbolic act. Why a donkey? Jesus riding on a donkey reveals that to us, that he's fulfilling an Old Testament prophecy in the past. He's a king, but he's a different type of king. He's not randomly entering on a donkey, nor is he randomly being spontaneous, but he's doing what he has been called to do. He's motivated by an ancient plan of old. He's a king who arrives in humility. Not being caught up with the hype of the crowd, he obeys the mission that he has from God, which is my first point. Jesus is a different type of king, one that we wouldn't expect. Jesus is a different type of king, one that we wouldn't expect. A humble king. A king that comes to serve and save those who are lost. A king that will not fight for our political agendas or for our benefits, but a king that will bring peace, hope, and joy to the nations through his life, death, and resurrection. His righteousness and victory doesn't appear as strength or brute. He comes lowly riding on a young donkey. You can't go to battle on a donkey. You can't destroy the Roman Empire on a donkey. You can't fight your way to the throne on a donkey. You can't go to war with a donkey. But that is the unexpected king that we have presented before us. He takes away all the chariots and war horses and swords. He is the one who proclaims peace to the nations, not war. Now, this act of weakness and lowliness and humility does not mean he will not be victorious in establishing his rule. As the prophecy says, his rule will be in the hearts of men. It will extend from sea to sea, and his lowliness does not jeopardize that one bit. In fact, his lowliness will be the very means in which his kingdom is established. Peace is brought to this world through his sacrifice. From the beginning of time, man's rebellion has led to disorder and chaos, sin and death and hatred for one another. God in his justice is about to bring judgment, but Jesus reconciles us to the Father. He brings peace through his sacrifice. So the crowds were right. They were right to praise Jesus as king, for that is what he came to do. They were right to say Hosanna, because in Hebrew it means Lord, save us, for that's what he came to do. They were right to expect that he had come to Jerusalem to establish a kingdom. They were simply wrong in how they expected he would do it. Yes, Jesus is the King of Israel. He will reign and he will rule. But that's not the sort of the king the people were seeking. You see, this story got me thinking. You and I face the same challenges as the Israelites back in the day. Now, why do I say that? I think often in our own walk of faith, growing up at church or having an understanding of Jesus from wrong perceptions or wrong teachings, we have mistaken Jesus for someone he's not. Jesus is king, but we must let him define his kingship. We must receive Jesus for who he is and not what we would like him to be, a cosmic genie or a Santa Claus. You see, many people today are led astray by teachings of a different Jesus. This Jesus that is presented in many places today is not one that we find in the Bible. The popular Jesus is being presented as the one who fills churches with fans, but not disciples. People are following this genie in a bottle that will grant them all their hopes and dreams. I often have conversations with people who are at the brink of turning away from their faith in God. And I always ask this question. Hey, what happened? What's going on? Well, I don't believe in Jesus anymore. Well, what makes you say that? He didn't answer my prayers. I'm not getting into that college. I'm not getting into that relationship I so want. And so as I sit there and as I hear and process their thoughts, I believe it comes down to this, that the Jesus that we've been presented to by many places today, and leaders and Sunday school teachers, whatever it may be, is following this Jesus that is like a Santa Claus. That's like a cosmic genie. That hey, if I pray and Jesus doesn't answer my prayers, then Jesus ain't real. So we have a whole generation falling away when they go off to college because they've been bought with this idea that Jesus is Santa Claus. He'll just give me good things. So I want to challenge all of us this morning through this story. Are we following Jesus for who he is? Are we following Jesus for who he is? Which is my second point. Follow Jesus for who he is. Don't follow Jesus only because of some temporal benefits or you think what he might provide for you. Don't follow him because he's some nice add-on to your life or because he will protect you from some illness or some car crash. Follow him for who he is, God's Messiah and King. You see, back in those days, some in those days have given a claim to Jesus because they thought about the temporal benefits that he could provide for them. He would usher in this sense of peace and economic prosperity. Their hopes were filled when they saw Jesus call Lazarus from the tomb. So they were thinking, well, if he could do that from Lazarus, I'm sure he could give me some good things too. That's not the case. The Jesus of the Bible is the Son of God, the one who is the Messiah and the one who is King. The reality is this. Our faith will be shaken. Our faith will be shaken. If you live long enough, you know life ain't easy. There will come times where, hey, some of us may contract a serious illness. There come times where family members are ripped apart because of hatred and jealousy. There comes times when we suffer financial loss, whether it's a job loss or crash in the financial market. There comes time where our marriage isn't this ideal romance or Korean drama that we thought it would be. And there will be times where our children don't follow God and they might even turn against us. There will be times where we don't get into the college we so desire. That's the reality of life. And no matter how much Western positivity we try to muster up in our hearts, life is hard. Our faith will be shaken sooner or later. But the question is, will you still follow the Jesus of the Bible? Will you still follow the Jesus of the Bible? You know, I often think about this in my own personal life. Now, I wish I could stand here and be honest and tell you that, hey, I'm going to follow Jesus with all my heart, even if it costs my life. I wish I could say that. But to be honest, I don't think I can say that confidently. I mean, I went on a mission trip many years ago. And I have to admit, during that mission trip, I was like, I'm good. There's no hot water. There's no proper food. I can't. You know, I can't go on. I'm not personally there yet. And I need to constantly remind myself, even now, that Jesus is not some cosmic genie, some Santa Claus that will just be dispensing fun and good times and good vibes to me. What I need to do, and what all of us need to do, is ground ourselves in the true character and nature of Jesus Christ from Scripture. He's God's Messiah and He's King. So that even one day, when everything is stripped away from us, everything is taken away from us, we can still say, yes, I still believe Jesus of the Bible. My Redeemer lives. If our faith rests upon the person and work of Jesus Christ as revealed in Scripture, then no matter what happens to us, whether good or bad, our faith will not be shaken because we are believing the Jesus of the Bible. Make sure you follow Him for who He is, not because of what you think He might provide for you in this lifetime. You see, the people wanted salvation and success, which means they wanted a Messiah to march into the city and do hard business with Rome. They wanted to be free from oppression, even if they had to use force against the Romans. Instead, what they got by Friday morning was someone totally different. So bruised and so battered, he was spat on, a man in chains, rejected by all, sitting next to the infamous criminal Barabbas. The sounds of the crowd this Sunday, Palm Sunday, will later be betrayed by the sounds of their stony hearts saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And so, as we think about the turn of events, the change of emotions, I don't think we're any different, to be honest. If we know our own hearts, if we could listen in on this crowd carefully, we would actually hear our own voices. One day, when things are going well, Hosanna, praise God. When things don't turn out our way, crucify him, crucify him. You see, may the Lord have mercy on all of us, and I invite the worship team as I wrap it up. May our hearts turn from a wrong understanding of who Jesus is to a right and proper understanding of his character and of his nature. May we not be shouting Hosanna one day when things are going our way and then the opposite and yell, crucify him, crucify him. Jesus is King, and we must accept him for who he has revealed himself to be. Today, he comes gently on a donkey, but one day he will come with great power on a majestic horse. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 to 16, turn with me there, and I just want to finish off with this imagery that John the Apostle presents before us. In Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 to 16, and I just want you to picture this. John says, "Then I saw heaven open, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a winepress. On his robe at his thigh was written this title: King of all kings and Lord of all lords." What a picture that is presented before us. Today, Jesus comes lowly with humility on a donkey to save and to serve us, to give us a chance to repent. But one day, my friends, Jesus will come on a majestic horse, and he will come with tongues of fire to judge the living and the dead. And he will come written on his thigh, King of kings and Lord of lords. But until then, he comes to us on a donkey. He gives us a chance to repent. He doesn't kill us, but rather he serves us. He comes to serve and bow and ensure that all of us has a chance to repent and turn our hearts and minds to Him, to receive Him as King and Lord over everything. So will you join me, and will you join all the saints of the past, present and future in declaring and praising all hail this King Jesus of Nazareth. Let's pray. God our Father, we praise you. We sing hallelujah. We sing Hosanna in the highest, because you are the King of Israel and you are the King over our lives. No matter what we have created in our own imaginations of who you are, Lord, correct us this morning to see you for who you really are, as prophesied in Scripture. A King that has come lowly and with humility on a donkey to come and bring peace and hope and joy. And a King that will one day come in a majestic horse, dispensing judgment upon the nations. Lord, may we see you and may we recognize you. And Lord, may us in this generation, 21st century Christians, humble ourselves to say that you are Lord over all. You are King of kings. Lord, you are the Savior of our lives. And may we give our life to you. May we worship you. May we praise you. And may we never turn our backs on you. Lord, help us. Help us in our weakness. Help us in those times when we say we don't want you or when we don't need you. Help us to stand on a firm foundation of what your word has to say. Help our faith to not be shaken when times are not favorable for us. But let us stand on the rock, the solid rock of your foundation. Help us to see you, not as a shepherd that we want, but as a shepherd we need. Lord, we praise you. We give you all the glory that is due to you alone. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand and let's worship.